Is there a prefer at the moment? Does one prefer Shmiras HaLoshon or learning about Yom Tov before Yom Tov?
Latter, at the moment.
Yeah? What do you think? What would you rather be learning today, Shmiras HaLoshon or Hilchas Slichas? Slichas, okay. It's 2-0 at the moment. Okay, Rabbi Sai, so seeing as we've got a vote of 2-0 for Slichas, let's learn another halacha to do with Slichas. And as you know, every day our limud of halacha is as chus refuah for all Chole Yisrael. They should have a refuah shlema bekorov. So we learned yesterday about the Yud Gimel Midas, that we said there's a machlokes whether or not you only can't say the Yud Gimel Midas themselves, biyochid, or whether or not you can't even mention the Yud Gimel Midas, and therefore you wouldn't say Kel Mole Rachmim, you wouldn't say Kel Rechapayim or Kel Mole Rachmim, because it mentions Eilorei Salom Lono Loima Shloish Esrei Schoel Lono Ayoim Berish Shloish Esrei. So you're mentioning the Shloish Esrei Midas, even though you haven't said it. So that was yesterday, that was a machlokes, and it seems like the Mishnah Berurah is noita that if you're davening b'yichidus, you don't say Kelo Chapaim, you don't say Kei Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachmim, you don't say anything that actually mentions the Shloish Esrei Midas, besides the fact that you don't say the Shloish Esrei Midas. Here's an interesting chiddush that I saw brought down b'shem at Rav Moshe Feinstein, which I think is very, very interesting. I've never heard it before. And that is that although we say that you can't say the Shloish Esrei Midas b'yichidus, but I think it's well known that if you know how to line it, then you can just say it as a posuk which you're lining. The only tonight is that you then have to line the entire posuk. Therefore, if you know how to read Benigun of a Tamim, it says, then Hashem, Hashem, Kerechum, Chanon, but then you've got to continue until Al Shileishim Va'al Ribayim. So you're lining two complete psukim, and you're lining them Benigun of a Tamim, then it's well known that even b'yichidus, if a person wants to say Hashem Hashem Kerachon V'chanon, which comes out as a very, very interesting, it might be an interesting situation, that a person cannot say Kei Melech Yoshev HaKasei Rachmim, according to the Mishnah Berurah, because it mentions the Shloish Esrei Midas. When it comes to Shloish Esrei Midas, although he's b'yichidus, but if he's lining, then that's fine. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I'll read you the words, because I think it's a great chiddush. He says, not only can you do it if you know how to line it, even if you make up a niggun. Yeah, if you adapt Hashem Hashem Kerachem Vachanon to some other tune that you know, so that you can sing it. He seems to say that that's enough. He says as follows, Shas HaTshuvas Ikus Moshe, I'm reading it to you, Yoridei
Chelik Gimel. That's what it says in the
Kol Peh. What? Does
that's
it?
That's what it says in the Siddur.
What does it say?
That you can say it to a, not to a, if you lane it.
Oh.
But you're saying any tune.
Oh, so I think the Loshon that it says in those places usually is Benigun v'tamim. Rav Moshe Feinstein is saying Tamim is the Neginus, and Nigun is a Nigun. Yeah, so if you can sing Hashem Hashem Kerachon V'chanon to your favourite Mordechai ben David, then as long as you know the tune, let me read you what it says. Yoredei Chelek Gimel Simon Sof Simon Kof Aleph Kosav. You don't have to say it with the normal lining tamim. He's got a niggun that he learns with. Right, you hear the people here in the Beis Hamikdash when they're learning, they're singing at the same time as they're learning. He says, if you say it derech tefilo, then you need a tzibur, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mesatev kishliach tzibur when he said it. And that's when he taught us how to say Hashem Hashem Kerachem V'chanon. But he says, so therefore the ikki is not to do it derech tefillah. Therefore if you do it derech kriyas haTorah, that's okay. He says if you do it derech hasong as well, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard, although I'm not an expert today, I go to a chasna today, I don't know most of the nigunim, but I'm wondering whether or not any of the singers have produced a nigun for Hashem Hashem Kerachon V'chanon. The what? Yeah, that's also, yeah, Parshas Amolek is already to a nigun. So maybe if somebody can make a nigun to Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chanon, he'll do a toiva to those people who are davening b'yichidus, going to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that they can sing it to that nigun. Rav Moshe Feinstein says the ikka is that you don't do it derech tefillah. Isha, what about a lady who's saying slichas at home? right? It says Isha she'ena regila v'nigah v'tamim. Rabbi Yashiv paskened that a woman should be medaleg al katoim elu, so she won't say kel melech Yoshua kasei rachmim if she's davening b'yichidus. Yeah, he doesn't actually say v'isha. He says v'isha she'ena regila. One need to look it up. Yeah, what about a lady who's in shul? There are some ladies who come to shul for slichas. Certainly, first night slichas. There are lots of ladies, yeah. And even during the week, there are some ladies who come to slichas. Yeah. I think when it says v'isha she'ena regila b'nigah matamim, it means if she's davening b'yichidus, because she's not familiar with kriyas haTorah, she can't normally line according to the psukim, according to the nigah matamim. Therefore, she should not say Hashem Hashem kel racham v'chanan b'yichidus, and hu adin according to Mishburah, she won't say kel melech Yoshev akasei rachmim. Something that happens, I think, quite often, certainly happens to me, and that is that, and it's quite frustrating, and that is that the Shliach Tzibur is saying one of the Slichas, and he gets to the end of the Slicha long before you do. Some of them there are people who've got mamash echitach adibor, they can say the words faster than I can say them. Yeah? And therefore, and also we're not so familiar with all the words. And sometimes the print isn't that great, or your glasses aren't that great, or whatever it is, and it takes a little bit longer to say the slicha. And whilst you're still in the middle of saying, especially some of them, Erev Rosh Hashanah, some of them are very, very long, and you know, you say, what, he's finished already? I can't believe it. And they're already saying, Kei Melech Yeshua Kasei Rachmim, and you're still struggling, trying to get to the end of the slicha, and then they come to Hashem Hashem Kei Racham Lechanan. What are you supposed to do then? What? Oh, so yeah. So it's brought down Mefurish that if you can't finish it, then you should break in the middle of saying that slicha in order to answer Yud Gimel Midas with the Tibur.
Oh, really?
Answer the Yud Gimel Tibur. V'achkach yamshich mimokim shehifzik, and then you continue from the place where you stopped. Yeah, and you're going to fall further behind. You're going to fall further behind. I don't know where it is that you actually catch up or what it is that you skip, because you've got to get, by the time that you get to the end of this one, yeah, by the time you get to the end of this one, the tibur is already going to be into the next slicha.
So are you saying you shouldn't say Hashem Hashem?
Yes, I'm saying. What we're saying is, you should say Hashem Hashem.
Even though you're in tibur, you're in shul.
You're in shul, right? But you are behind. Yeah, for whatever reason. Yeah, you should answer Hashem Hashem. You shouldn't say it on your own, right? Because that's what we were saying. Bichidus, you don't say Hashem Hashem. You should say it with the Tibur, exactly how you, and then carry on with where you were up to, and how you actually catch up later. It's kimat impossible. I think at some stage you probably have to skip one of the slichas. You fall behind until you skip one complete slicha, yeah, and then you can catch up with the Tibur and join them again for Kemal Arach. Kemalach Yeshua Kasei Rachmim. Pardon?
Bar today, the Torah way,
Northwest
London. Thursday, Kaf Gimel Elul, 26th of September. Admon Mivai Dichka, Rav Zalman Roth Shlita, Beitza. This week's Torah is sponsored Nishmas of Imura of Moshe and Rav Yosef Zun Rav Roch on his second Yahrzeit, which is on Sunday, and also by family Itzkovitz on the Yahrzeit of their grandfather, Rav Ron Ben of Ephraim, to find a Roch of his Yahrzeit, it was on Monday. Immediately following this shir, there'll be either Dirishu at the back with Rav Gershon Dunner, or upstairs the new Arisa program with Rav Yisrael Chaim Becker in the Ezra's Noshim with the Oitzer Aaron Chaim. Everyone's welcome to join one of the two.
Agresi Ashakoyich, and indeed following on from what Rav Roni just finished off, I'll be talking today about Beitzer. Being as a Raisa starting the program of Maseches Beitza, we will talk about Beitza. And we will talk about Beitza very simply by the word Beitza itself. Because when we look at the names of Masechtas and Shas, almost without exception, we'll talk about it in a moment, every Masechta seems to define what the topic, what the noise of the Masechta is. So we have Maseches called Sukkah, we have a Masechta called Rosh Hashanah, and Brochus, and Kedushin, and Gittin, and Adorim, and Soita. And the name defines the halachas which that Masechta will deal with. Now, obviously, with like every Masechta and Shas, there are segues, things which come in Agav Urcha, but principally, the way that it's approached is always that the name defines the Masechta itself. And yet, Beitza is the exception. It is called Beitza because the word Beitza is the first word in the Masechta. Where do we find this? even in the Chumash, where seemingly sometimes the first word seems to signify the name of the Sedra of the Chumash, it's not completely so. Bereshit Vayikra are the first words. Shemos Devarim are the second words. Bamidbar is the fifth word. The Parshas Noach is called Noach, and it starts with the words Ele Toldos Noach. And yet, Toldos is called Toldos, even though it starts with Ele Toldos Yitzchok. So why is this not called Yitzchok? So clearly, the names of the Parshias are also not just randomly picking the first word of a Sedra. So therefore, what is Maseches Beitza? Why is it called Beitza? There is perhaps one other Masechet in a similar way. Maseches Ma'id Kotem, some Rishonim do call Maseches Mashkin. Rashi never does that, but some Rishonim do, because the first word. But aside from that, it's really hard to think of any Masechet which is called by a name other than what it signifies in the Masechet itself. Chulin, for instance, is called Chulin by way of abbreviation, because obviously it doesn't refer to Chulin as Chulin, but Shechitas Chulin, as opposed to Shechitas Vochen. But still, it is nevertheless the topic of the Masechet, the Shechita Chulin. It is true that the Ar Rishonim, who Taka referred to the Maseches Beitza with the name Maseches Yom Tov, we see so, for instance, in the Rif, in the Rashba, the Ritva, when they finish the Masechet, they say Salek Maseches Yom Tov. And even Rav Shura Gun, in his very famous letter, which he talks about the history of the Gemara and how it all came to be developed, and then he listed in the Masechtas, refers to the Masechet again by the name Maseches Yom Tov, which is much more appropriate, because indeed, the dinim of Maseches Beitza are the dinim of Yom Tov. So we have the specific dinim of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and then we have the dinim which are the general dinim of Yom Tov, which come into Maseches Beitza. But all the more reason why do we, generally speaking, call the Masechet Beitza, and why indeed Rashi calls it, many Rishonim do refer to it as Beitza. One of the Masechet, which is the Nuna de Yoyme, no pun intended, is Maseches Yuma. Yuma likewise is not called Maseches Yom Kippur. There are two explanations given for this. Some say that out of respect, it's Yuma, the day, like the pinnacle of the year, the greatest day in the year. That's one Mahalach. And indeed, the Yerushalmi does call Yuma Maseches Kippurim. But there's another interesting thing. If you ever notice, you'll see that Hasidim always say on Yom Kippur, Yom Kodesh, they don't call Yom Kippur. Yichfutz Milem of Yom Kodesh. Now, this is not a mistake. The Ben Asoscha writes in Cipher in Chodesh Tishri, Mamaches Ozbais, I'll quote his words now. Hamaseches Hamadaberes Me'ine Mitzvos Hayoyim, the Masechet talks about the day of Yom Kippur, L'nikur Shemo Al Shem Yom Kippurim. It's not called Yom Kippur. He writes, as Shabbos is called Shabbos, Pesachim is called Pesachim, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, Rak Nikro Yuma. Something which it is so high that we can barely refer to it. And he writes, Alkain therefore, Minik an Shemase, the Chasidim Shalalahaske Shmoy. You don't mention it. Like Shemaskirim and Yuna, when you say it, you say Yom HaKudish. V'day Lamaska. So according to this, the reason why Yom is not called Yom Kippur is because it's like, I don't mean this literally, but in the same way as we don't say the Mshem Hashem in vain, we don't even mention Yom Kippur in vain. We call it Yuma. But all this is really to stress the point. Beitza is the only Masechta which has no shaykhis to the general dinim of the Masechta and purely called by the first name. As we'll see further, we also have to ask ourselves a question which ties into it. Why indeed is the first sugi about Beitza Shenol Debi Yom Tov? There are so many dinim and Yom Tov. What makes Beitza Shenol Debi Yom Tov such an important sugi to start the Masechet? So we'll provide Beis Hashem Yisburach a few explanations b'derech pshat remesh drish sod to explain why did we call the Masechet Beitza. The first Hesber is like this. This is from Sefer Arachama, and he says that it's really the other way around. Shavuos seems to be losing out. Every Yom Tov has a Masechet, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkah. Shavuos is left out. So, would we have called this Maseches Yom Tov or Maseches Shavuos, and being that it has no special dinim that apply to it in particular, then Shavuos would come out looking like a tofel. Like, in Taki, it is so be'emes. Shavuos has no special dinim. There's no mitzvah of Shavuos that you have to do. Let's remember that the limited Torah of Shavuos is all very wonderful and true, but in the Torah, it's not mentioned. The din of Shavuos is to bring a carbon. And in that way, it is the only Yom Tov which has no din. So we call it Beitza so as not to signify that this is the Yom Tov Masechet, which has not much to say about it. So it's almost a way of hiding the discrepancy between what Shavuos says and what other Yom Tovim have. That's one explanation. Again, the purpose is not to shine a limelight on the fact that Shavuos and the other Yom Tovim as a Yom Tov is a much more narrow Yom Tov than other Yom Tovim. But I want to provide a bit of a deeper explanation. And I want to give, by way of analogy, a Hasbir from Shamshel Rafael Hirsch. The Pusik says in Vayikru, the din of putting melach, salt, on a carbon. And the Pusik says, carbon reishis takivi oisem l'ashem l'azbach l'ayin l'choyach v'chol carbon l'choschu b'melach timlach. You always have to put melach. V'lesash bis melach brisa l'kecho ma'michosecho. So Rashi says, what is melach brisa l'kecho? Think Rashi from Chazal. Hashem made a bris with the melach. We all know the story. The Maim Tachtenim Elyonim were divided. Maim Tachtenim said, we were also one of the Shachas. We were born in the Shadayim. Hashem said, you know what? We'll use the water, the salt, the derivative of the water to put on the Mizbeach. That's melach bris l'kecho. There was a bris made with the melach. So far, so good. Says Rav Hirsch, now hold on a minute. If this is the pshat, then now help me interpret the following pusik. The Eibishter tells in the end of Parshas Korach, the Klal Yisrael, you have to give the Kohanim all these various matnas kohana. And it says, kol tirmas ha-kadush ma-shiyim v'nei asur l'ashem nusati l'chu l'vonechu l'vnasechu itchu l'chu l'chu bris melach olam hi. Where's the melach here? This pshat. There's a bris with the melach, but what's the bris melach when it comes to giving trumas and maestris and pidin aben? Similarly, we find in Divrei Hayamim, Beis Perek Yud Gimel in Pasuk Hay, the Eibishter talks to David HaMelech, and he tells him, promises him a bond forever. Malchut Bas David will never cease. Halelechem ledas ki Hashem elokai sanusim mamluch al David Yisrael le'olam lo yilevunav bris melach. Where's the melach here? So the class explanation is, and it's a bit difficult, in the same way as Hashem made a bris with the melach, he also made a bris with the kahanim and also a bris with David HaMelech. But this feels a bit like a stretch, because what is with the bris with the melach so unique and so special that it has become the archetype, the example that you say, it's like the bris with the melach? So Rav Hirsch says something else. He says, melach is another word to define the word bris. Because what is melach? A preservative. If you have meat and you salt it properly, you cure it, then it's preserved for a very long time. What is a bris if not something which says, we create an institute, we create a bond between us which we hope to last forever? So melach is really, in a certain sense, a synonym for the word bris. A good bris is a melach bris. So even the bris with the melach, coincidentally, it's about it, melach, but the bris melach is a definition of the bris itself. And I want to argue that the word beitza and the sugi of beitza is a definition of yontif itself, as we'll show. So not just a coincidence, but rather it has the essence of yontif in it. And let's see how. So there's a sugi in Shas. The Gemara says in Pesachim, as we all know this, that when you make Kiddush in Yom Tov, which is Chal B'Matzah Shabbos, what is the cider of what we do is Yak Nehuz. Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdule, Zman. Says the Rashbam, there's one thing missing from this. Besamim. Because in the Havdalah we have the Ner, and we have the Yayin. The Kiddush, of course, is for Yom Tov. Where's the Besamim? Zog the Rashbam, that's not a problem. Besamim is only there because we give nechama for the neshama yisera, leaving the person. But Yantav also has a neshama yisera. So therefore, there's no break. Zayah, fine. Same says the matcha as well. He adds another explanation. Maybe we'll come break the besamim. Rokach says the same thing. It's not necessary. Ki yesh tei nefashas b'yantav. Freik toisvus. It doesn't make sense. Because if that is true, then why matzah Yantav that we make besamim? Elam azuk toisvus. There's no neshama yisera in Yantav. Why don't we then have the Summa B'Matzah Shabbos, which is on Yom Tov? Why do we have Yak Nehuz B for the B'Samim? says Tosfos, because the meal and the environment of Yom Tov has the same effect, the calming effect in a person like what someone would have. But there is no such a thing as having a neshama yisera in Yom Tov. And the same says the Arzurua and the Radvaz as well, no neshama yisera. However, in Zohar HaKodesh it says quite a little bit beferish that not only Yom Tov has neshama yisera, also Rosh Chodesh as well. So, Zohar HaKodesh and Devar Chazal, how can Tosfos argue with that? So one explanation given is that everybody agrees there is neshama yisera. The question is it at the same level of Yom Tov, of Shabbos and Shalom, or not? Rashbam says it's closer to the level of Shabbos or thereabouts, and it's good enough for it to, on the one hand, not to have to make Avdolah B'Masa Shabbos when it comes to Yom Tov, but it's not that great of a neshama yisera that will have to make Avdolah B'Masa Yom Tov. And Tosfos says, decide, Mamunavshach. If it's Mechayev, the Avdullah, then it should be one always Matzi Yom Tov. And if it's not good enough, there should be one Matzi Shabbos, Shechol is B'Yom Tov. L'chor Tosfos is right. You have to decide one way or the other. How does it go together? No, Ken Zanasir. The Ramban says, Beferish, in the minute of Tochon, the Rishonim, Neshum Yisrael Yesh L'Udam B'Shabbos B'Yom Tov. A person has Neshum Yisrael and Shabbos in Yom Tov. And now we add keywords. V'ein mistalekes b'matzi Yom Tov. It doesn't go away. What does this mean? So it's Fasemis and Pasha Semer explains. And he says like this. Neshama Yisrael of Shabbos is of such high intensity, you cannot remain with it. Comes Matzah Shabbos, disappears. Because the Neshama Yisrael of Yom Tov is at a much lower level, therefore, it never leaves the person. It sort of gets absorbed in the person. So this might not make sense. Matzah Shabbos, Shecholiyas, Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, you make Nova Summa because you don't have a Neshama Yisrael. But nevertheless, Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yom Tov, you don't ever make Avdullah, because the Neshama Yisrael doesn't depart. It sort of gets absorbed. Why is the Neshama of Shabbos not absorbed? It's too much that we couldn't take. That's one explanation. Everybody knows the Sefer Paradis Yosef, which was written by Yosef Pachanowski from Poland. It brings many Chiddush which don't appear elsewhere, but you heard from Gedolim of Poland. And it brings a Chiddush from the Avnanizer with a different explanation. And he says like this. Shabbos is a gift. A gift, you get it, you take it away. Yom Tov, as we all know, is what Klai Yisrael takes for ourselves with our own work. What we take ourselves stays with us forever. So Matzah Shabbos, the Rebbeinu gave us a gift of Shabbos. When the gift goes away, the Neshama Yisrael goes away as well. But when Yom Tov, when the Neshama Yisrael is something which we do on our own, then that's why it remains with it. And this is Bakant, we all know that we say every time Mekadosh HaShabbos, but Yisroel V'Azmanim, that we're Mekadosh Yom Tov ourselves. And this is the Yisod, the fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, where Shabbos is given to the Eibesh Tematunu Toiv Yishti Bevaz Genuzai, I give you a gift. Obi Mitoivim says, Ashatikri Oysam my Adam, it's ours to take, it is ours to make our own. Very nice. So now, I think we can argue why Beitza is the Yisod of the Homosechta. Mammals, when a child is born, the child is complete. Nothing missing. But eggs is different. When a hen lays an egg, there's two stages. There's one part which is similar to a child being born, to a mammal having a child, and that is that here it is, there's an egg. But now the mother needs to incubate the egg. And if she wouldn't, the egg would never hatch. So there's a double part to it. It's necessary for nature to do its thing, with Abishav's matbiah in the world, but then the chicken has to then put its own input by incubating the egg and making sure that the egg hatches. This is the definition of Yom Tov. The Abishav gave us Yom Tov, which he set into the calendar, but it's not enough. We have to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh. We have to be Mamshich the Yom Tov on ourselves. Beit HaShanol the Yom Tov, the din, that there's a first stage and a second stage, defines what Yom Tov is. The stages of having Mekabel Yom Tov, unlike Shabbos. So what makes Maseches Yom Tov different than Shabbos and different than things that the Eibishter gave us? The fact that it's like a Beitza. There's a two-stage. We got one part from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and now we have to incubate it ourselves, bring it into our own Yom Tov, make it ours. Ad kedei kach, the taka, because of the way that we treat Yom Tov, that we incubate it, so the Neshama Yisrael of Yom Tov remains ours. It's our work. Who can take it away from us? We did it ourselves. So, it is not a coincidence. Beitza is not just the first word. It is the essence and the definition of Yom Tov itself. Now we move on to a third explanation. Why is Beitza the word begifted Masechta? You know, sometimes there's a mama written in a certain kovitz, and there's a gem there, but it gets lost because it's not in a sefer. There's a very famous kovitz called Baisa Harm v'Yisrael. The Kalini Rebbe Shlita is a collector of Sfurim, he buys kovitz v'Yudis, and every now and again he gives over something to print in his kovitz Baisa Harm v'Yisrael. So, a few years ago, one of the kovitzim, he had bought a ksavyad from a yid I never heard from before, perhaps my own ignorance, Reb Zev Horovitz, who was the Rosh Bezdin in Ihel during the times of the Yismach Moshe. He then came to Eretz Yisrael to live, and he was nifter, and he takalized in the Mizrachayim and Tveri of the Tamid of Hashem. And a small chiddush on Beitza was printed in this kovitz, and he asks this question, and he gives a very nice explanation, along the lines of what we said before. He says that a Medrash says that Beitzim always refers to the Torah Sheba Chsav, and Efrechim refers to the Torah Sheba Alpe. It kind of makes sense because sort of it hatches out from the Torah Sheba Chsav. Now he says the age old question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The two are intertwined. You cannot have Torah Sheba Chsav without Torah Sheba Alpe. It's impossible. There's a writer in New York Magazine who wrote a book called The Year of Living Biblically. He tried to live with the Bible, and he found himself quickly coming around to being the scarf to Yiddishkeit out of necessity. Because, and you see, like, sort of, with the fresh eyes of a person, like, what are you supposed to do? This it's impossible. It's not a question of providing our own interpretation. It's that it's mamash kasar for achusim. We don't think about it because we're so used to taking it for granted, certain things that we know that this is so, that really, if you start fresh, and you start reading it pusik by pusik, the vayshe timidim b'chlal. On the other hand, Torah Sheba'al Peh stems from Torah Sheba'chsav. So the two intertwined. What comes first? This is why Maseches Yom Tov, which is the Shviyas Masechta of Chakabulis HaTorah, is called Beitza, because this is how Torah is. You have the chicken and the egg, and it's hard to say what comes from what. But we know that they're both unified in a complete union, that you need the chicken and the egg for Torah, the Pesav and Shabbat Peh in the same way. Now we come to a fourth explanation, which is very relevant to the days in front of us. The Gemara says, Baitzish and Elder Beyontif, why is it Usir? Because we know that the fact that it was in Mesiala today, Me'esmal Gamala, there was Achuna yesterday already. And being that it was finished yesterday, therefore, it's Meichem Shabbos Yom Tov, and you can't do that. It's in the Shaykh. Okay. So, Kiptas Azay, the problem with Beis Shinel Yom Tov is that despite the fact what you see with your eyes, you know logically that this didn't come out of nowhere. There was a level of preparation which came to it, which came on Shabbos already, and that asks the Beitza now. There's no better definition for Limud HaTorah than that. Sometimes you see a Talmud Chacham, a mamish booky, and unbelievable, and Yiddish is an expression, there's kibbish from essen kigel. There's no recipe that if you eat a lot of kigel, you become a Talmud Chacham. It requires deep explanation. You have to learn for such a long time, many, many years, with depth, about amkis, and have the Yerushamayim, which is makabel Torah, in order to be that person. So, when we ask ourselves, what is the definition of Maseches Yom Tov, which is again for Shavuos, Beitza. The sugya of Beitza is what gives us the explanation to understand that there's nothing which comes with arachune. Yes, you see the end result, but you act upon the knowledge that you know that didn't pop out of nowhere. The egg didn't come just on its own. There was a level of arachune which came beforehand, which you have to take into consideration when we paskin on this egg. And this is true for every part of the Mediterranean, every part of Rachnius. Well, soon we will stand Hayom Aras Olam. We have 8 days left, not much, but surely what these 8 days, the arachune we're going to have, will define the result. Nobody comes into Nesana Toikif with their heart burning and without the preparation beforehand. Beitza. We paskin on the Beitza based on the achuna we had beforehand. The time is short, so we'll quickly go through a few other explanations. I saw in the Achrenim a nice hesbet that says that because we know that B'Shavuos Hakam Boidin Debi'in Enam Elochem, therefore, the Masechta starts with the sugya regarding the food of Yom Tov, rather than any other din to be madgish that this is what Yom Tov is about. The Pesuk says in Nehemiah, Lechi ichli mashmanem, which is in Mamtakim, Kikudashem Ladenaini. This is how we define. The Torah says the same about Rosh Hashanah, that Be'etzem, we should have walked around like when you go to court. But instead, because we show what Yom Tov is for us, we go out with Simcha, and we show that we eat and we drink. The Yom Tov is defined by the food that we eat, so much so that the first sigur of the Maseches Yom Tov is Beitze and defines the Masechta itself. The Elo Yeru writes in the cipher in nice remez. The Mekabulim say that La Usad Luvoi, the Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, will become Yud Kei Yud Kei. This is written in the pusik. Bayoy Mahi Yihye Hashem Echad Ishmoy Echad Yud Kei Yud Kei. And the Shilav of Yud Kei Yud Kei and the Shem Adne Begamatria is Tzadik Hei. So you have Yud Kei Yud Kei, which is 30, and Shem Adne, which is 54, so it's like 54, so together is 60. Sorry, 56. It's 20, 10, 30 is,
it's Elohim,
65. Adne is 50, is 64, sorry, Yitka, Yitka is 30, together is 95. 65 plus 30, 95. So he says, what will decide whether this will come about? We decide. Our masim will decide whether the Shem will become Yitka Yitka. Beitza is divided into two words. Be Tzadik Hei. It's dependent on my masim, what I do, when we get to that level that we have the Shem Tzadik Hei when Mashiach comes. Once we're in Remez, another Remez, Beitza is Begematria 107, which is the same Gematria as Ha'emuna. Shavuos from Mekabel, the Torah, when Makabal the Aseres HaDibris, this is the Emuna which defines the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Reb David Fardo writes that the reason why we have Beitz and Yom Tov is because of Yom Tov. What does the Gemara tell us in Brochus? Vayl on the Misnin, whenever we reach a level of happiness, we always have to remember it's temporary. It's not forever. We always remember that it's going to end at some point. Beitz is the Machal of Avelim, so we start the Masecht of Yom Tov with the Beitza, to always remember that it's not forever, it's temporary. It doesn't go on forever. And the final explanation, which the Ben Yehuda says, that just as a chicken is moiled the Beitza every single day, Limadatoria has to be fresh every single day. Fresh eggs, fresh Limadatoria. I want to finish with a story. This story was printed recently from a Talmud Chacham, and it's a show called Reblezer Yudkowski. And he heard the story himself. He went to Tel Aviv to daven mechamarav in a shul. He saw many old Yidden sitting there. You know, old timers from Tel Aviv. Between mincha and marav, the Gabbah said that they won't have the shir today because the Rav is not there. So he said, you know, maybe I can give the shir. He figured, what can they learn already? Psalochas. So the Gabbah said, sure, we're up to Maseches Aholos, Perek Yud Beis. Please sit down. He sits down. He opens the Mishnayos. Doesn't know what to do with Mishnayos b'chol. And the LT comes over to him and says, don't worry, I'll sit next to you, we'll learn together. And this old Yid, it didn't look anything, he wouldn't guess it before, guides him through the whole Mishnah, word for word, explains, and sort of becomes a Chavrisa and saves his COVID by basically giving the Shia for him. So when he finished the Shia, he said to me, may I ask you, I'm sorry for judging you, you know, a book by its cover, but Vikim Tzayid like this, such Bekias, in a Masechta like a Holos. So he says to him, I'm nothing but B'chosh my children. He says, but still, he says, I'll tell you my life story. I was born in Golders Green to a family where none of my siblings went to yeshiva. My father never went to yeshiva. Post war, we moved from the East End to Golders Green. And I went to a school, JFS. I'm not too sure many good people came out of there. And my path was set in front of me. I'm going to university. But one day the chayshik was born within me that, what's yeshiva? Maybe I can go to yeshiva. Maybe I can learn more about it. So the yeshiva that I thought was a yeshiva Eitz Chaim, where Eli Lapkin was at the time, a yeshiva. And I knocked at his door and said, I'd like to come to the yeshiva. So he said, wait here, I'll give you a fahir. And I looked at this wall, and I could barely read Hebrew, but basic. And I looked at all the masechtas, and the word that caught my eye was beitza, because that's the word that I knew, beitza, an egg. So he comes in, and Rebbe says, which masechta do you know? So he had to choose for the beitza. So Rebbe said, that's wonderful. So I'm going to ask you a question, a simple question. What would you do if you have an egg born on Yom Tov when Shabbos beforehand? So Rav Ella thought that, you know, he's trying to come and say, no, I'm not asking the Rishonim, I'm just saying, you know, the basic thing, what would you do? So he thought and said, if I would have an egg born on Yom Tov, which came from Shabbos, I think I'd make an omelette with it. An omelette. What would you do with the egg? Make an omelette. That was, and Rav Ella said, wonderful. You accepted the yeshiva. It's amazing. Years later, Rav Ella said to him, I knew you didn't know how to learn at all. I just wanted to see whether you have basic common sense. And for a boy who doesn't know how to learn, given the choice what to make with an omelette, with an egg, omelette is a very logical, good explanation. He learned for the next few years, grew and became a serious Talmud Chacham. He said, they wanted told Rabbi Leib Steinemann the story, and for a whole week Rabbi Leib would keep on asking people, if you had a Talmud today who told you the omelette, would you take him into yeshiva? And look what came of him. Yashar Koach.
Together with the camera, I'm saying.